Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Matthew chapter number 14, the last 5 days in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ really take up about a third of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you go back and begin to study these, for an example, when you go to the book of Matthew and you look at Matthew chapter 21 through Matthew 28, they will cover the last 5 days in the life of Jesus Christ. You go to the book of Mark and you'll find that we have already been studying about the last days in the life of our Lord. And so when you look at these events, all of them leading up to the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when we look at Mark chapter 14, you and I know that Jesus has already gone and had two trials already. As a matter of fact, before our Lord is crucified, and all of them are not recorded in Mark 14 or 15, but if you look at the trials, our Lord endures six trials, most of them being illegal. You and I know that He had to face false witnesses. You and I know that He faced the betrayal of one of His disciples. You and I know that all of the others left Him and fled. Now tonight, when we look at the trial of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has gone in to the high priest. Now Mark does not give us all this information. I'm not going to go back and read all of John, but just refer to the book of John, chapter number 18. The Bible tells us about our Lord as He goes to trial before the high priest. Now I want you to kind of just, if you can envision in your mind what is taking place. You know, so many times things will happen, and you and I may be in the outlying area of something. I want to know what's going on. Now, in the trial of Jesus, you had the same thing. All right? An event is taking place. And one of the disciples of our Lord, and it is supposed by writings and I guess perhaps by historians, that particular apostle happened to be the apostle John. That he knew the high priest. And that he had gone into this trial of Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now, there was another fella. Have you ever had this? Can you get me in? You want to go into a spot, but you don't have whatever it takes to get in, either the money or the clout. And so what do? You say, hey, can you help me get in? I want to go in there. There was a fella in the same condition, and his name was Peter. Peter says, I want to go into the palace. How did he get in? He got in because he knew a fellow by the name of John. John goes back and says, let this guy in. Now, my friend, tonight, Peter would have been better off if he had stayed out. The Bible tells us, now when you look at this, in the book of Mark chapter 14, I'm going to read verse number 66 through verse number 72. Look at what the Bible says. And as Peter was beneath the palace, he got in there as a result of John. There cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again. And began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. You got to keep in mind, she didn't go up to Peter and whisper in his ear, I believe you're one. No. She said this where everybody could hear. I believe you're one of them. This is one of them. And, the Bible says, he denied again. And laughter, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. Some translations will use the word instead of agreeth, will use the word betrayeth. And now, not that he was betraying in that, his speech led him out. I mean, but he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that what you and I, when we follow this up, I believe that we see one of the greatest examples of forgiveness that you and I can find in the Bible, because we know later on, you remember the day of the resurrection, that Jesus cooked breakfast for the apostles. And he asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" And you and I reckon, now you think about this, you and I say, "I'm not going to have anything to do with this fella. He betrayed me. He was he cursed and said he didn't know me. No, ladies and gentlemen, the God of heaven, his Son, Jesus Christ, has a heart and a spirit of forgiveness. Now, there are two other things I want to bring out of this, not just the introduction, but I want to go back. And I want you to see how it led up to this. Look, folks, a man just doesn't all of a sudden begin to do evil. Now, I realize that we're tempted. James 1 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." We know that James 1, verse 13, the Bible says that a man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when that lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And so, listen, my friend, I want to say this to us tonight, that if you and I, when we sin, when we sin in such a way that it is evident in our life as well as others are aware of that sin, it was not something that started all of a sudden. It is kind of a built up kind of a situation. When a man quits the church, he doesn't get up some Sunday morning and say, "I'm through, I'm not going, I'm going to quit." There has been a series of events along in his life that now they culminate in that individual ceasing to serve the Lord. Now you can watch this. You can write this down, my friend. When you find an individual who is faithful in their attendance on Wednesday night, and then all of a sudden you notice that they are not as faithful on Wednesday night as they used to be. They may attend two or three services and then they miss one. And then they may attend two and miss two. And then before very long, you see them then all of a sudden, the Sunday night attendance goes in the same direction. And then before long, my friend, what you're going to see is that individual has fallen away. When a man or a Christian begins, and I use the man in generality, when an individual begins to fall away from the body of Christ, for the most part, it is just not something all of a sudden they do. That didn't happen as well with Peter, and I want to show you why. Back up now in the 14th chapter, and go to verse number 29. Here's number one. Peter was self-confident. He was confident in himself. Now look at what the Bible says. "But Peter said unto them," you see, Jesus having the conversation with them. And in verse number 29, the Bible says, "But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." Oh, no, not me. "Oh, the others may do it." No, not me. The Bible says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." "Oh, that never happened to me." Yeah. "Oh, no. Brother Acuff, well, listen, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I have seen Christians, liberal givers, dedicated workers in the kingdom of God, and all of a sudden you'll find that there's something in their life and they have got this idea, this self-confidence. "Oh, no, man. I've been a Christian so many years. Peter said, although others may do so, I will not." Secondly, not only self-confidence, but defiance. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says, "But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any sense. Likewise said they all." He had this defiance. "No, sirree. He didn't say, "Now look, I'm not going." No, he stomped his feet. He raised his voice. His eyebrows got big. His eyes were as big as saucers. I'm not going to do it. Be careful. See, he became defiant. Though others may do it. Number one, self-confidence. Number two, he became defiant. Now let me give you a third thing. Prayerlessness and indifference led up to Peter's denial. Now look at this. Go down now in Mark. We got all these are right here in the same chapter. Go with me to verse number 33. The Bible said, and he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began sore amazed and be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, fell on the ground, and prayed that, for possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thy will. And he cometh, and he, what does he do? He findeth them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Do you see what's taking place with Peter? See, first of all, Peter had his confidence. What? No, it ain't gonna happen to me. Secondly, he was defiant. Now, you see, I look at defiance. I say defiance as being a rotten attitude. And then, what do we see? We see when Jesus had gone into the garden to pray. See, why is it that Peter is not out here praying as well? Well, what is he doing? He's sleeping. Look, folks, I have seen a lot of congregations of the Lord's people die because of indifference. See, the devil is shrewd. We're talking about indifference. When the Lord Jesus Christ was in the garden praying about his crucifixion, Peter was outside asleep. So when you and I find in our lives that we are praying less, that when you and I become indifferent and say, oh, we've done that before and blah this, blah that, then all of a sudden you better be careful, because what do we find out? Okay? Let me give you another thing that takes place. Not only is Peter self-confident, not only is he defiant, not only is he prayerless and indifferent, but go to verse number 47, he's impulsive. Look at verse 47. You remember they came to take Jesus? And when they came to take Jesus, guess what? We know, because John tells us this in John 18. We know that Peter had a sword, and I mean, look at verse 47. And one of them that stood by drew a sword, smote a servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. Now we know that was Malchus, we know it was his right ear, and we know Peter's the one that did it. I mean, they come out, isn't that the way that it occurs many times in our spirituality? Now watch all these traits. Self-confidence, defiance, indifference, impulsiveness, all of them go together, folks. All of them will go and they'll all say, here is the quality of a particular character. Now then, not only that, but Peter followed afar off at a distance. Go down to verse number 54. The Bible said, and Peter followed afar off. There are some folks who say, well, now I don't want to get too close. Elders may ask me to do something. I'm going to keep my distance. There are folks in the body of Christ, and they say, I want to follow as far back as I can. Be careful. Here's the next thing. He was with the wrong group. Now watch this. Go down to verse number 65. The Bible says, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face. Peter was with the wrong people. Now you make your closest friends, you make your associates, Oh, I'm not saying you don't associate with people outside the church. I think that's how you convert them. That's how you bring them in. But let me tell you this, my friend. If a guy's got his car down in the ditch in the mud, you don't say, let me drive my car down in the ditch in the mud and get you out. No, no, no. You stay up on the side of the road and you throw a chain down there and say, we'll hook you up and pull you out. You don't get down in the mud to get them out. See, Peter's with the wrong people. He's with the people who are spitting on Jesus. He's with the people who are mocking Jesus. Wrong group. Now, our time will not permit tonight. But I had planned on, if I hadn't talked so much on these other points, to go to 1 Peter and 1 and 2 Peter. And let me just give you some of the passages real quick. Because later on now, Peter writes two books of the New Testament. You know what's interesting? Every one of these points that we have made in Mark chapter 14... go down to 1 and 2 Peter, and you know what you're going to find? You're going to find every one of them covered in 1 and 2 Peter. Because Peter knew firsthand what it was. Peter talks about humility. Peter talks about obedience. 1 Peter 1 through, verse 2. Peter talks about not compromising. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. And so when you and I look at, now when you look at Peter's life, and Peter repented, and Peter wept, and Peter was sorry, and God forgave him. That is the key to Mark 14. The forgiveness of God. You look at his self-confidence, his defiance, his prayerlessness and indifference, his impulsiveness. You look, ladies and gentlemen, at the fact that he followed afar off, and these were the wrong crowd. Whew. Every bit of it behind him. And now we see Peter on the day of Pentecost standing up with the 11 and lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. What a fabulous life. But not a life. Now, my friend, listen. You and I are so imperfect. You may be saying to yourself, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. God will forgive you. God will forgive adultery. God will forgive murder. God will forgive a thief. God will forgive a gossip. It doesn't matter. If you're willing, He's willing. So tonight, if you need to obey the gospel of Christ by faith, repent of your sins, confess Him before this assembly, and be baptized, we're here to assist you. If you're not faithful in the kingdom of God and you want to repent tonight, we're here to assist you and encourage you and pray with you and for you.